doing. The other thing that I would point out is that the neat thing about this project is it brings the Blanchet House into partnership with the city in a way that it hasn't been historically. They've always been a great partner to the city, but they will now start working together with us in a more coordinated way in our 10-year plan to end homelessness. One example of that is they'll be reporting through our housing or our homeless management information system. So we'll be able to report back to you how folks are coming into the Blanchet and then where they're going for their permanent housing placements, which is an important thing for us. Because I work with an amazing staff, I just need to take a moment and acknowledge a few people. Barbara Shaw and John Warner delivered Block 49 to us and immediately started working on this project, and they've been fantastic. I would also acknowledge Kari Hernandez. And then, as Margaret pointed out, PDC has been an amazing partner for us as a new bureau. This project started in their shop, and Keith Wachowski's here, and Stephen Shane and Sarah Harple from their staff have just been fantastic to work with. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dan Petrosich.
Dan, welcome. Dan has, from the board leadership point of view, been very tenacious, I think, is an understatement, in pushing this, and early on enlisted the support of Commissioner Deborah Cafori and me to see if we could work with Blanchet House to make this happen. And you're probably the most persistent person I've ever worked with, Dan, in the community, and I congratulate you for that.
Thanks, Nick. And again, I'm Dan Petrosich, Blanchet House board member, and I really want to thank the entire council, and in particular you, Nick Fish, for your recent support for this additional $2 million for the fourth floor, the mayor and the PDC for their initial support to get the project started. And then Randy's been a longtime supporter, actually participated in the neighborhood stakeholders process and attended neighborhood meetings on our behalf, and has helped us in emergency situations. A lot of that predates some of the other members of the council. I've been on this project, or got involved about 10 years ago, and I've been working with the city now for, well, predating 05 to 06 when it got in the PDC budget. And it seems like a little anticlimactic, but I'm really glad to be here today to tell you that in about 2 weeks we will be closing on our new market tax credits, and shortly after that we will commence construction, and the new building will take 12 to 13 months to complete. I won't repeat all the names that Jacob mentioned, but also want to echo the support we've received from the staff. Jacob recently attended a foundation request that we were successful with. Nick's expressed interest in doing that as well for us. I will tell you that without this partnership with the city, that building wouldn't happen. The foundations are supportive of it, but they like to. They've all said, when you get 80% of the money, come see us, because we like to be the last 20%. Unfortunately, you got to figure out how to get the first 80%. And with the city support, that was a big starting point for us that enabled us to get more money from the foundations. This is our 59th year. When the building opens next year, in our 60th year, we will have served more than 14 million guests or meals to guests during that 60-year period. I also want you to know this is the first time we've taken public funds. I think you mentioned that earlier, Nick and Jacob. And I think our founders were somewhat opposed to doing that. The new board, which we have now, I think embraced it. And I think what we're doing here is enabling the Blanchet House to be here for another 60 years. I don't think our existing building really a year is about all it's got left in it. It's a 100-year-old building and kind of falling down upon us. But and I'll just wrap it up by saying I think that this project will meet all the goals that the city has for it. We get the lines off the street, get people out of the weather. We leverage public dollars, and we enable the services to be supplied with no further public money. So thanks so much.
Dan, you have a couple of board members here you want to
acknowledge? I do. I'd like to recognize John McGuigan, who's our vice president. John, could you raise your hand? And Bill Riley, another board member and chair of our building committee.
And also, just to make correct me if I'm wrong on this, but my recollection is that the original founders of Blanchet House had a connection to the University of Portland?
They did. The Blanchet House kind of started as a social club at the University of Portland, and one of the priests there challenged them to make it more than a social club and actually do something for the community, and that's what really was the genesis of that. My father was a founder. Bill's father-in-law was a founder, and many of our current board members have a connection to the founders.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else wish to testify? Unless there's additional council discussion, Carly, can you please call the vote?
Fish.
Well, again, teeing off of what I said earlier, we very rarely get an opportunity where an investment of this modest size leverages as much public benefit. And the number of beds we're going to get and the commitment by the nonprofit to actually manage and operate the facility is quite extraordinary. It took a little time to cook this one because we couldn't just recommend making the investment without aligning the programs with our 10-year plan. And I appreciate, Dan, your patience in working through that. I know this was a new experience for you and maybe some board members, but it was vitally important to us that we be synced up in terms of what you're trying to accomplish and in order to recommend the investment. Blanchet House provides a wonderful service to our community, and these additional beds will provide a much-needed benefit. I have some pictures in my office if my colleagues want to see it afterwards, but it is a beautiful building. It's an absolutely beautiful building, which regardless of what it was used for, would enhance the community, but particularly because of the mission of the work, will be a double benefit for the community, a sustainable, attractive building. I want to say one thing because it's starting to come up a bit, and I probably it teaches me I've got to do some more outreach and communication with my colleagues. We at the city are responsible for housing chronically homeless individuals, and right now, overwhelmingly, that they are men on our streets. It's just the reality. Three quarters of the people that we're responsible for are men. They're on the streets. The county is primarily responsible for families with children, and overwhelmingly, they are addressing the needs of particularly single families with a female single head of household, and other challenges. We looked at some data recently, and I was pleased that in terms of our allocation of monies on the emergency shelters, it's about 50-50 men and women. Overall, however, we don't have a particular template here about men versus women. The programs tend to be programs for men or for women. That's historical. And we invest in proven programs, and we are very eager to provide additional housing for women. And I hope to be able to come to the council. Margaret and I hope to come with an idea in the next 6 months that may involve another nonprofit that deals specifically with women and women in crisis. I also though want to point out that everybody is welcome to the Blanchet House for food and companionship and using the restrooms, everybody, men, women, and children. And over at Bud Clark Commons, everybody in our community is eligible for one of the 130 homes that are rented, men, women, there's no distinction. Everybody in our community is welcome to the service side. I've been over there a few times recently. I've seen more women than men queuing up to take a shower, use the bathroom, do their laundry. I would say about 80% of what goes on in the Bud Clark Commons is open to men and to women. And I would also acknowledge that the shelter component of Bud Clark Commons is simply replacement shelter beds for the old TPI program, which historically has been exclusively for men. So I don't want us to go too far down that path using just anecdotal evidence about who we serve and the other, because I think we have a great story to tell, and in fact we serve men and women. I think this council will be very proud about the investments we make and the equity that guides those investments. Good questions to raise, but I want to have that discussion later with hard data and not anecdote. Today we have a chance to add a lot of beds at a very modest cost, and with an operator that's going to pay for running these facilities without seeking any further public subsidy, which in my experience is unprecedented. Dan, thank you for your dogged determination to make this happen.
Thank you.
And thank you to the board for all the work they've put into this and all the fundraising, which has been substantial. Congratulations on all the money you've raised from foundations that believe in your model. And as your housing commissioner, I'm very proud to add you to our team of partners. And thanks to my team at PHB for all their good work. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, there's no organization that exists in Portland that I respect more than Blanchet House. I know that you speak of its 59th year as though it's an aging institution. Those of us that are also in our 59th year would take umbrage at that comparison. But I do remember.
Remember, it's undergoing a complete renovation.
Well, I'm considering what kind of PDC help I could get myself renovated.
How about storefront renovation?
That would be nice. But I don't know that there's enough dollars for that to happen. But Dan and John and Bill, part of the reason that I feel a connection to Blanchet House is not only having grown up here and just being aware of it from my earliest memories, but that there is this kind of dynasty that exists, and I just respect that a lot. That not only do you do the work you do, but you've inherited it from your ancestors, and that's something that's very meaningful to me. And I've been very pleased to be able, whenever Dan or whoever at the facility has called and needed something to happen quickly, to be able to marshal the resources necessary to do that for you. And I do want to address the issue of women at the Blanchet House. As Commissioner Fish correctly notes, the overwhelming issue on the streets and homelessness in and around Old Town is men. But I would also point out that before Commissioner Fish arrived on the council, I found myself in the curious position of every year bringing an ordinance to council just before winter to get emergency funding to fund the women's shelter at the Salvation Army. And it was awkward. It was awkward because I wasn't in charge of the Housing Bureau. I wasn't responsible to do that, but it was clear that for a variety of reasons that wasn't going to happen. And the bottom line was I found it unacceptable that there were women sleeping in the winter at night outside, not just subjected to the elements, but subjected to abuse by men. And I would want to note for the record that since Commissioner Fish has arrived on the council, I've no longer had to do that. So that's greatly appreciated by me, and appreciate that his empathy on homelessness in general is well known, but he has taken a special focus on women in need. So thank you for all the good work you do, and I'm really very humbled to be able to vote for this. Aye.
Thanks, Randy.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. That was a good reminder, and thank you for bringing those ordinances over the past years. And I'm grateful, Commissioner Fish and Director Van Vliet, for your willingness to look again at this issue or continue to look at this issue. As the numbers you just gave us, we have over 700 women living outside in Portland. That's not counting those who are enslaved in human trafficking and those who are being served by families and domestic violence services. So clearly we have more work to do. We'll always have more work to do. The poor will always be with us, and indeed some of the tragedies that happen to human beings will always be with us. And it's wonderful to know that the Blanchet House has been helping serve those folks, and I love the way you talk about your guests and the spirit in which you offer those services, all of your volunteer work, and indeed your partnership, and the fact that this is the first time that you have ever asked for city funding. And it's definitely leveraging the money that PDC and the city can put in, and I'm happy to support it. Aye. Yeah.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank you all for your great work on this. I want to thank Commissioner Fish for putting together, helping to put together this deal, but also making sure that it was a good-looking project, and you as well for your care and attention to that. This is an important part of town, and better served by transit, which makes it an even better location for these kinds of services. So I'm very pleased to vote aye. Thank you. So approved. Item number 690. We don't have to read that, do we? Mm-hmm. Oh, we do have to read it. Okay.
Delegate authority to charge off housing loans originated.
No, that has been.
We just have to send it back to your office.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Just read the title. Excuse me. Delegate authority to charge off housing loans originated through the Portland Development Commission and or the Portland Housing Bureau.
Unless their objections referred back to Commissioner Fish's office, can you please read the title for, I can't tell what it is. Is it a non-emergency ordinance, 691?
It is, and there's an amendment for it today.
Okay. So
it
can you please again. Read the title?
691, authorized contract with the Columbia Slough Watershed Council for $215,000 for Columbia Slough-related outreach and education.
Who is here? Hi. How are you? Good.
So my name is Nancy Hendrickson. I work for VES as a Columbia Slough Watershed Manager. And due to an oversight in the ordinance, item 642 was pulled from the council consent agenda last week, June 22nd. The following changes are needed in section 1, number 5 of the ordinance. And I'll go ahead and read the addition, the amendment. In section 1, paragraph 5, we should add, this sole source contract is being acquired as an exception to the competitive selection process identified in PCC 5.68 and the PTA Services Contracting Manual.
I would move that amendment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Council discussion on the motion. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion approved. Anyone wish to testify on the amended matter? Moves to a second reading next week. We are adjourned for the week.
Thanks, team.
Good job.